Okay, so we're picking up now on Chaf Bet Amud. I'm sorry, Chaf Vav Amud Bet. Towards the middle of the page, Bein Hamoked Kipa Uveid Gadol Haya. So we're going referring back to the Mishnah. We talked about these two areas. Bein Moked had like a dome, and also had a big room. So the Chad Shomer Hu Dehava Beveid Hamoked. So the Gemara is asking, so we said there. It sounds like we're saying there's only one Shomer. There's only one guard in that place. The question is, Ramin he Shnei Sharim he Beveid Hamoked. But we have a problem. The problem is that there were actually two entrances into the Beit HaMoked. Echad patuach lechel, v'echad patuach lazara. The Beit HaMoked was sort of in the middle. There was an entrance from the outside in, and then from now you're in the Beit HaMoked, then you go in another hall. There were two doors. So the question was, how could you have only one guard there if there are actually two entrances? Rabbi Yehuda, bazen nichlasin lazara. I'm sorry, this continuing this idea. Rabbi Yehuda, how the layout of these doors were. The Rabbi Yehuda, bazen nichlasin lazara, pish pesh katan ayalo, shpon nichlasin levusha azara. So it says that there were these big doors, but then there was also these little like auxiliary doors that were associated with it, that they wouldn't open the big doors just for one Kohen to go through. But either way, what the Mishnah here, what the Gemara here is quoting is this statement that there were two doors, maybe actually even a third door that was a small little door that individual people would go through, but you only had one Shomer, you had one Kohen, you had one guard in there. That seems strange. The Gemara doesn't understand why you would only have one guard when there are two doors. Amar Abaye, the Baso Abaye answers, Kevan de Gabe Hadade Havu Kaimi, Sagil Hu Bechad Shomer. Deve Lahacha. So he says, the Gemara, so Abaye says, look, the doors were across from each other. Like they were right near each other. Zeh Keneged Zeh, the commentary on the side says they were right across from each other. So since one was across from the other, you only needed to have one person standing there in the middle, and they would sort of be able to cover, both doors. So you didn't need two people there. You only needed one person and sort of stand in the middle. So it wasn't a problem. Okay. Rovdin. So sorry, continuing Mukaf Rovdin Shal Evan. And so it said that this chamber had these stone things protruding from the walls. It was called them Rovdin. So Rovdin Shal Evan, these protrusions of stone. So the Gemara asks, Rovdin Mayni, so what are these protrusions exactly? So it says, Gzeirata de Itztavta, de Salki Behuli Itztavta. So they were these pegs, these stone things jutting out that the Kohanim would climb onto and then be able to, you know, sleep, and they would lay on those and they would stay on the stay on those things that were jutting out of the walls. There were these surfaces that are like benches that they would sort of sit on and be able to climb on to sit on. So the Gemara asks, Mihavi Mipalge Avanim. So it's presumably what that is that you had a flat surface, and then there were chunks chiseled out of the wall. And so the Gemara is asking, how could you chisel anything out? We know the rule was that the building, the Gemara is going to continue, Faktiv habayit behimanoto evan shlema. The building was built with whole stone. So how could you have different protrusions sticking out? It was one whole stone that was placed there. How could you have protrusions coming out? It sounds like you had to have chiseled something out in order to get these protrusions sticking out. So it didn't understand. So the Gemara doesn't understand how do you have protrusions if you can't chisel anything out? How do you have different widths going on here? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Dimtakni umaiti mikara avne zutarta v'avne ravravata. Dichtiv avne eser amot v'avne shmona amot. So Abaye says, look, no. Inside the Beit HaMikdash, once things were brought into the Beit HaMikdash and built there, you're right, then they didn't cut anything out. But if you look at the Torah, look at Tanakh, Malachim, Sefer Malachim Aleph, 1 Kings, chapter 7. So Rabbi says, look, it even talks about how there were stones of different widths that were brought in. And those stones of different width that were brought in were stacked one on top of the other. And if something was wider, that ended up being the protrusion. If something was narrower, it ended up being the wall. Okay, and you could hew the stone. You could cut the stone. You could chisel the stone outside of the Beit HaMikdash. The rule was, once it's brought into the Beit HaMikdash, then you couldn't hew and you couldn't chisel, you couldn't cut anything out. But Abaye is saying, look, before it made its way into the Beit HaMikdash, it was fair game. And that's how they ended up having in Sefer Malachim, says they had stones of different length, of different width that sort of fit together inside. So you couldn't cut them once they're inside, but outside you could do whatever you want, then bring them in. So that's how you ended up having these different rock stone protrusions sticking out. It wasn't that anything was chiseled out inside the Beit HaMikdash. It was chiseled out outside. And Abaye says, then it was brought into the Beit HaMikdash. Now we're going to move on to a conversation a little bit about the clothing. And this is going to carry us for most of what we're going to talk about today is going to be about, actually, we're going to go back and forth on this topic, but okay.
I just want to clarify. So that means It was forbidden to do chiseling once it was inside, I'm guessing.
Correct. It was a solid mass once it was inside and you couldn't touch it. I mean, you could touch it. You couldn't cut it. You couldn't alter it in any way. Outside you could, but once it became inside, there's this general rule of this is already in the Torah about not, you know, waving a metal cutting implement on top of anything, right? If this metal swords are cut down life, and the altar in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, sustains life, it gives life, so it's they're incompatible. So Abaye is just pointing out it's incompatible inside, but in the production of it, it could take place outside, but inside it can't. Good? Perfect. Okay, continuing at the bottom of the page, Zikne Beit Av Yishenim Sham. So it talks about how on these bench protrusions, the elders of the houses would sleep on them. So the Gemara asks, V'amai, La'ai limitot. Why do they sleep on those? They might as well bring in a bed. Like, why do they have to sleep on these stone slabs? They should just sleep on a bed. Amar Abaye is Abaye here again. Abaye has been really active in this on this page so far. Amar Abaye, Lav Orech Ara Li'ilui Mitot Levet HaMikdash. Abaye says, it's not appropriate. You don't schlep your cot into the Beit HaMikdash. This is the temple. You're gonna sleep on these stone slabs. You're not gonna bring like a bed into the Beit HaMikdash. That's very inappropriate, Abaye says. All right, continuing. It describes the Pirchei Kehuna Ish Ksuto Ba'aretz. So the Mishnah had said that the young Kohanim would sleep on the ground, Ish Ksuto Ba'aretz, and their clothing they would their priestly clothing, right? The clothing they wore as a Kohen, that would be that would be on the ground next to them. We'll see where exactly it went. So the Gemara now asks a question about this Pirchei Kehuna, this expression Pirchei Kehuna. Amai Hatam Kari Lehu Rovim, Acha Kari Lehu Pirchei Kehuna. So earlier we called them, used the term Rovim. These Rovim were the, that was the term used for a young Kohen. And now we're calling it Pirchei Kehuna. So the question is, what's the difference? Is it a Rovim or Pirchei Kehuna? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, now on the top of Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph 27a, Amre, this the Gemara says, In Hatam Dilamatu Lamevad Avoda, Karilhu Rovim, Hacha Dmatulhu Lamevad Avoda, Karilhu Pirchei. So the Gemara says, you're right. Those are different terms, and those different terms refer to different people. A Rovim refers to someone who's, the commentary here says, Pchutin miyud gimel shana. They're under 13, right? They're a katan. They're a child, so they don't have the ability to actually work in the Beit HaMikdash because they're children still. Okay, so that title gets rovin, but if you're over 13, but you're still not an old mature old adult, so then you get this title of pirchei. And so the Gemara says, yeah, you picked up correctly that they're different terms because they're referring to different age groups. Gemara continues. Tznan hatam b'shloshama k'mor hakohanim shomrim b'beit hamikdash, b'beit avtinas, b'beit hanitzos, b'beit hamoked, v'alevi'im b'chaf aleph mekamot. So we quoted this already before, Masechet Midot, that says that there are three places that the Kohanim guarded, and then there were 21 places that the Levi'im guard. Now it's going to list them. Hey, so five, al hey sharei harabai. So there would be five at the five entrances to the Temple Mount. Dalid al dalid pinotav mi bifnim, and then four at each corner of the Har Habayit, the Temple Mount is a square, a rectangle. So at each door, and then at each corner on the inside. Hey al hey sharei azara, and then there'd be another. Then on the Temple Mount would be the azara. It would be the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. So that also five entrances, one at each door. Dalid al dalid pinotav mi bifnim, and then again. Four on the inside of that. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Read the wrong line. Dalit al dalit pinotav mibachutz. They would stand not four in the four corners on the inside of the azara, but they would stand the four corners on the outside of the azara. So you had like I'm sort of picture like a square in a square. So So they're the bigger square, five doors. And then each corner there was Wakoan, Levi, and then a rectangle inside of that, and then every door. And then on the corners, but instead of being inside, they'd be on the outside. So you'd have the two Levim in the corners on the Temple Mount, between the external walls and the internal walls. In that space in the middle would be both Levim. Hopefully that image made sense. Right? The point is that they're both in the Temple Mount complex and not already within the walls of the Azara, not within the courtyard. All of the Levim were standing in the Temple Mount complex area. None of them were standing within the walls of the Azara, within the walls of the temple itself. Okay, so we did that. Achad b'lishchar ha-korban, v'chad b'lishchar ha-paroch, v'chad achorei beit ha-kaporet. And then there were three other ones. There was one b'lishchar ha-korban, one in the chamber where they would keep the sacrifices, the animals, once they'd been checked to make sure they didn't have blemishes, they'd be able to be offered. They had to put them somewhere. So there was one Kohen that would hang out, it would stand guard in that room. Achad b'lishchar ha-parochet, another one in the lishchar ha-parochet, which was this, I guess this room, the chamber of the parochet, of the curtain. I think I saw somewhere that's the curtain. This was a room that they would make the curtain, that they made the curtain for the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies. There was a curtain separating them, so between the Holy and the Holy of Holies. So apparently that was made in that room. And then the one more, Achorei Beit HaKaporet, and then at another place situated in the Beit HaMikdash. If you can, there are a lot of rectangles with inside rectangles with inside rectangles, but there's another position behind where the Beit HaMikdash was. I'll use another picture here. The Beit HaMikdash, or let's say the Kodesh, the Holy, was like a rectangle. And then inside the rectangle was another rectangle. There's nothing actually here. I'm just trying to, there's nothing, don't look at anything here. I'm just trying to use here. Rectangle within a rectangle. And then there was a small space over here. So there would be a Levi over here. It's like, if we had more time, maybe I'd pull up a screen share and show you the picture of the Beit HaMikdash, but there was a space between, there was a narrow gap between in the temple complex. There was a Levi standing in like the northern corner or northern space that he was hanging out over there. That was his position. Okay, so the Gemara then continues. So how do we know this? Amara Bihuda Misura. Rami Love Matznitza Tana. So we know this from the following verse. Dichtiv Lamizra Chalavim Shisha Litzafona. Lamizra Chalavim Shisha. There were this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Book of Chronicles. It says that on the eastern side there were six Levim, Latzafona, Levim Arba, and on the northern side there were four Levim. Lenegba Levim Arba, on the southern side there were four Levim. Vela Asufim Shnaim Shnaim, and then in this area of Asufim there were two sets of two, aka four. La Parbar Lama Arav Arba'a, and then on the Parbar on the west was four. La Mesila Shnaim La Parbar, and then in La Mesila and the Parbar, we'll define what Parbar is. In this other area in La Mesila there were two. So the Gemara, if you were paying attention, you're counting that all out. Amri Hani Chavdalet Havu. The Gemara says, if you count the numbers there, you don't end up with 21. You end up actually with 24. So how did you get 21? You said, how do we know there were 21? And it lists this verse, and the verse, if you count out in the verse ends up with 24. So how does that make sense? So the Gemara answers, Amr Abaye, Hachi Gamar L'Asufim Shnaim. Oh, so it said, oh, remember when it said Asufim, two sets of two? It doesn't mean two sets of two, it just means two. Where it says, but Bakati Esrim Utrei Havu, but that only saves us two. We had 24, less two is still 22. You said there were 21, but we've just counted 22 in this verse. So the Gemara answers, Heichtif parbar chad haba, ve'achreina b'tzavtehu, de'azil v'yativ gabe, mishum tekai abarai. The Gemara says, this parbar that we said was two is actually one. So it's really 20, you know, there's really 20, we say counted 24, but really it's less two. One word was duplicated. It's not two sets of two in one of them, it's just two. So it's 24, I'm sorry, it's 22. And one of those is not really a guard. One of them, the Gemara says, really, he's just like a guard's friend. The guard who was on his own in this Parbar area was on his own, and it was lonely, was away from everyone else, so he had a friend there. So really, there were 20, 22 people there, but really only 20 of them were actually on duty, And one of them would just sort of hang out with his friend, so his friend would stay, would have company, because he was away from everyone else. So really, there are 21 guards, but there were 22 people, and one of those people was not really a guard, he was just there. The Gemara says, my la parbar, what does that word parbar mean? We said, a couple times there was someone standing parbar. The Gemara answers, Amar Rabba bar Rav Shela, Kamanda Amar, Kalape bar. What it means is parbar is a shortened, what's the word? Constriction, not constriction, contraction of this word Kalape bar on the outside. Right, because we've said this already, no one was standing on the inside of the Azara. No one was on the inside of the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Everyone was on the outside. And so this term, parbar, refers to the fact that this guard was not standing within, was standing without. So say everyone was standing without, that's true. But the Gemara here is identifying that this parbar in particular refers to someone who was specifically on the outside. I'm trying to see the comment here. Thought I saw. Doesn't say. Okay, doesn't have a comment here. Okay, so that assumes that there actually were 21 guards, and we initially misread. It doesn't really mean there were 24. It really says there were 22, and one of them is really 21, and it was just plus one. It was the guy's friend. The Gemara now gives an alternate answer. Viba neima lo olam chaf dalid. Actually, there's another alternatively. Maybe it was actually there were 24. The Gemara says, or you could say, it wasn't, this count was accurate, and it was actually 24 different places to guard, but that's 24 in total. Because we saw already, the Kohanim guarded in three places, Levim guarded in 21 places, 21 plus 3 is 24. When the verse says the 24 places that people guarded, it was referring to collectively there were 24 places. So there are two ways to understand it. One way was to say, really, it's not 24, it's 22, and there's one, just a plus one who was extra. And the other explanation is, no, it was actually 24, and that's collectively 24. Three Kohanim, 21 Levim. The Gemara is bothered by that, though. It says, how could that be? Because v'ha-hacha Levim hu tichtim. The verse says Levim. The verse says there were 22 Levites guarding. So how could you say that that included the Kohanim, and it identifies them as Levim? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shuben Levi. No, it must be like Rabbi Shuben Levi. What does Rabbi Shuben Levi say? Demar Rabbi Shuben Levi. Chaf Dalad Mekamot Nikru Kohanim Levim. There are 24 instances. There are several instances in the Bible when Kohanim are identified by the title Levi, which is actually their tribe. V'zechad mehen. And this is just one of them. Kohanim HaLevim B'nei Tzadok. And that's an example. Kohanim Levim, the sons of Tzadok. Okay. This is one of the cases when the Bible refers to Kohanim as Levites. But it still refers to the Kohanim. So according to this second opinion, 24 places that were guarded that the verse identifies, those were Kohanim and Levim. Together, calls them Levim, because they really all were Levim. There are several instances when Kohanim are identified as Levim. This is one of them. Okay. So going back to what we were saying before about the doors, about the guards at the doors. Chamisha sherei harabait. Arba pinotav mitocho. So we'd said before the five, because there were five doors that entered into the Temple Mount. Arba'a al arba pinotav mitocho, and then there were the four corners on the inside within the walls. Hey shere azara. Then there were another five on the five entrances into the azara, into the courtyard itself of the temple. The arba al pinotav mibachutz, and then there were four on the at the corners, but on the outside. We saw that before. They were standing on the corners on the outside. They weren't within the courtyard. They were outside of the courtyard. So the Gemara says, Maishna harabait davdinan mitocho, Maishna azar davdinan mibachutz. The Gemara says, I don't really understand this. Why would we have the har habai on the Temple Mount? You'd have people, for on the walls of the Temple Mount, they'd be standing in the corners on the Temple Mount, on the within the walls, but when it comes to the Azara, the courtyard, they're on the outside. They're outside of the walls. So why are people standing? Why everyone should either be within the walls or everyone should be outside of the walls? Why are some within the walls and some outside of the walls? Skamara answers, Amri harabai di'i tama uvai metav yativ. Amri nan mitocho. Azara di'i tama uvai in the metav lo matzi yativ. Damar mar en yeshiva bazara el malchei beit David bilvad. Amri nan mibachus. It says, look, it's actually all just of practicality. you're allowed to sit on the Temple Mount. You're not allowed to sit within the courtyard. So if someone's on the Temple Mount and they get tired, they want to sit down. So good. Their position is on the Temple Mount, not within the courtyard. They're totally good. But someone who's guarding the courtyard and is inside the courtyard, he gets tired. He can't sit down. The only people who are allowed to sit down within the courtyard are kings of the Davidic line. Levites are not going to be kings of the Davidic line. So the Gemara says, in order to make it light on these people, that if they're guarding, they want to sit down. So we have them sit on the outside, not within the courtyard, outside of the courtyard, so that if they want to sit because they get tired, they're allowed to sit. Okay, Gemara continues. Amar Mar, Hey Al Hey Sharei Azara. So the Gemara had said there were five at the entrance to the courtyard because there were, you know, five doors to the courtyard, five guards. The Gemara says, Vehei Sharim Hu Dehavi Ba'azara. What are there are five entrances to the courtyard? Urminhi. Sheva Sharim Hayu Ba'azara. Gimel Batzafon, Gimel Badarom, Vechad Ba'mizrach. What do you mean? There wasn't five, there were seven. There were seven entrances to the courtyard. There were three in the north, three in the south, and one on the east. So why does it say five? There are actually seven. So the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, Treminayhu Latzrich Hishimor. Abaye again, it said, okay, there were seven doors, but two of them didn't require any guarding because that's where the Kohanim were. So you don't need to worry about the place where the Kohanim were. The Levim don't need to guard this. So really, there were seven doors, but the Levim only guarded five of them. Rava Amar, Rava says, Tanaihi, Rava says, actually, you know what? This isn't actually a debate. It's not, you know, and this is always a real serious question. There's a question here about like how many doors there were. Like someone should just like ask, if they didn't see it, ask someone who did see it. Like you could go back far enough. How do you actually have a debate over the mitziyot, over the reality, how many doors there were? It's always an interesting question whenever there is. But Rava says, in fact, there was a debate among the Tanaim, the authors of the Mishnah. They debated as to how many doors there actually were. Ditanya, we have a bright that says, In pochatin miyud gimel gizbrim. Mizayin Amarkalim. So there were, you know, 13 gizbars, people sort of overseeing the treasury, overseeing the money. So you never had fewer than 13 treasurers and seven Amarkalim, another form of custodians, people taking care of the place. So this statement by Atana that says you always had, the temple always had at least 13 treasurers and then seven of these other custodians. Rabbi Natan Omer, Ein Pochatin Miyud Gimel Gizbarim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you actually, why is it that you don't have fewer than 13 treasurers for the temple? Can I get Yud Gimel Sharim? Because there were 13 doors. And so you had 13 treasurers, one treasurer in charge of each door. That means there are 13 doors. Dal Chamisha Daharabait. So let's not count the five that are the entrance to the Temple Mount. That leaves Pashalu Tamya Da'azara. That means that if there were 13 doors on the temple whole area, we're not going to count five of them because five were the entrances to the Temple Mount. That means to the Azara, to the courtyard, there were eight. Alma, the Gemara concludes, therefore, Ikatana de Amar Tamanya Havu, Vikatana de Amar Shiva, Vikatana de Amar Chamisha. That means that we have Tanaim, we have authors of the Mishnah that identify. One opinion says there were eight doors, one says there were seven, and one says there were five. This is the Gemara says clearly there was a debate, clearly that no one agreed because there were three different opinions here, five, seven, or eight, various different answers that are options there. How many doors there are. Continue on in the Gemara. So lo hayu yishenim b'digdei kodesh. So we saw that those kids, the pirchei kahuna, they would sleep, they would not sleep in their garments as levim. The Gemara says, "Sheinahu delo aval hiluch mehalchim." So presumably, we can be, you know, precise in language. The Mishnah said that they didn't sleep in the clothing, but that means they could walk around in it. That means that they're allowed to just like hang out. If they're hanging out, they could hang out in their Levite clothing, their uniform. The Gemara says, "Shmat mina bikti kihuna ninu le'ano mehen." That we learn from here that the garments of the late Levite were allowed to be benefited from. It's not like you could only wear it when you're working. No, they were allowed to like hang out in it. If they're shooting the breeze, they could still wear their Levite articles of clothing. They're allowed to be doing that. The Gemara says, Amri, hu hadin defilu hiluch nami lo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the rule is you're not allowed to sleep in it. You're also not allowed to hang out in the clothing. And why does it say that they didn't sleep in it? The Mishnah said they didn't sleep when they mishum debay lamini seifa ela poshtin mekalpi manichin otan tachar roshem, because it was just trying to tell us what they would, where they would put their Levite clothing at night. They didn't sleep in it. They folded it up. They put it next to their head. But that's not telling me that if they weren't sleeping, they'd be allowed to wear it. No, they were never allowed to hang out with it. You only wore the garments when you were actually working. If you weren't working, you didn't wear the garment. So why does it say they didn't sleep in it? Okay, because it was going to tell us what they did with it when they slept. But it doesn't mean that you're allowed to hang out in it. You weren't allowed to hang out. You weren't allowed to sleep. Only when you're working could you wear it. The Gemara continues. Katani Reisha. So the Gemara says, look, the Mishnah said initially, Lo hayu yesheni. The Hagufa Kakasha. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We just said that we fold up the clothing and put it up, and they would put it under their head and sleep on it as a pillow. That means that you're allowed to benefit from it. So of course, so the Mishnah there seems to indicate that you are allowed to benefit from it. Because if they folded up their clothing, use it as a pillow, that means you could benefit from it. That means you could use it as a pillow. You could wear it when you're just talking with friends because you need something to wear. You're allowed to benefit from it. It's not like it was only used for work. You could benefit whenever you wanted to benefit. You could benefit from it. The Gemara says, Ema neged roshan. The Gemara says, no, maybe it doesn't mean that they put it underneath their head. They just put it next to their head. They certainly weren't going to sleep in it. They weren't going to use it as a pillow. They just put it next to their head. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Shema mina tefillin v'nafel. I'm sorry, tefillin min hatzad sharyan v'lo chashina dilma migandar v'nafel alayu. So Rav Papa says, look, we learn from here. If the Levim were allowed to sleep with their uniforms next to their head, and we weren't concerned they were going to like roll over it and desecrate it. So if a person is going to sleep and they have their tefillin, they're also allowed to put their tefillin next to their head. And we don't have to be concerned they're going to roll over it and desecrate the tefillin, because we weren't concerned about the Levites rolling over and desecrating their clothing that were folded up at their heads. The Gemara continues, Hachinami mistabra de keneged roshayam, de yamar tachat roshayam, nehi did nitnu lehanopahem, hepekle mishim isurei de kilayim. The Gemara says, look, it's correct that they didn't use it as a pillow. If they only put it next to their head, how do we know that that's right, that they didn't use it as a pillow? Because even if you were to tell me that they were allowed to benefit from the priestly garments, there's also something called shatnez, kilayim, forbidden mixtures that were in the clothing of the Levite. And you're not allowed to benefit from the Levite, from forbidden mixtures. So even if you were to say that technically, strictly speaking, they were allowed to benefit from the Levite, their uniform. But in this case, when they're sleeping, okay, so when you're wearing the uniform, you're allowed to wear the uniform, even though it has forbidden mixtures in it, because you're at work. And at work, those rules were suspended, apparently. But if you're just going to sleep, you could sleep on anything. There's no permission to sleep and benefit from kilayim for this forbidden mixture of linen and wool. So you can't do that. So it's a problem. So they certainly didn't sleep on it. They certainly put it off to the side. Because even if you could benefit from it, you can't benefit from here. Because it's kilayim, because it's a forbidden mixture. Top of the next, of 27b. So the Gemara explains, Hanicha l'mandamer avneto shel kohen gadol lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot. Elo l'mandamer avneto shel kohen hedyot zehu avneto shel kohen gadol ma'ika l'meimer. So if you're going to tell me that the high priest and the regular Kohanim, I'm sorry, I keep on saying Levites. We're talking about where the Kohanim slept. I apologize. The people who were sleeping on the ground, the clothing they were wearing was talking about the Kohanim, not the Levim. I apologize. All we've been talking about is Kohanim. I apologize. I hope I didn't confuse anyone there. We're talking about the priests. We're talking about the Kohanim. We're talking about where the Levites were standing when they were guarding, but we're talking right now about where the Kohanim would spend the night when they're sleeping. So if you assume that the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore, which was shatnez, which did have a forbidden mixture in it, is the same material as the belt that the regular Kohanim wore, then you have a problem, right? Because the high priest wore kilayim, wore the forbidden mixture. The regular priests wore the forbidden mixture. So that would be really a problem of kilayim, of shatnez, of forbidden mixture among the Kohanim if they were to fold it up and sleep on it. But if you were to say, Elamant Amar Avnito Shel Kohen Hedyot Zehu Avnito Shel Kohen Gadol Ma'ika L'meimer, it would be a problem. If you were to say that it was different, then there's no problem whatsoever, because if you say that the high priest had a kilayim, had a belt that was linen and wool together, but a regular Kohen just had a belt that was linen, so then there's no concern about it. And then if they slept on it, okay, there might be a problem of benefiting from the clothing, from the uniform, but the issue of the forbidden mixture is not going to apply. This question is only a question if you assume that the belt of the Kohen Gadol and the belt of the regular Kohen were of the same material, that they were both this forbidden mixture of linen and wool that was permitted when they were wearing the uniform doing work, but forbidden otherwise. The Gemara answers, V'chitema kilayim ba'aliyah levisha hu da'asur aval meimach tote shapir dami. So maybe you're going to tell me, the Gemara says, maybe you're going to tell me that the only prohibition is wearing kilayim, is wearing linen and wool together. But if you're sleeping on it, there's no problem. So then it wouldn't be a problem if they use it as a pillow under their head, assuming you're allowed to benefit from the clothing, from the uniform. It wouldn't be a problem to sleep on it because maybe the prohibition of kilayim, of shatnez, of linen and wool together, is only when you're putting it on top of your body. So Gemara says, it says that couldn't work. Ve'atanya, because we have a brayta that says, lo yaleh alecha, aval ata matzio tachtecha, aval meru chachamim, asur lasod ken shema tikarech nima achat al besero. The Gemara says, look, we have a brayta, we have a statement from the Tanaim. The Tana says, even though, strictly speaking, on a biblical level, you are allowed to sleep on a mattress, on sheets that are shatnez, that are linen and wool together. Nonetheless, the rabbi said, what's going to happen, though? You're going to, you know, your fitted sheet is going to pop up at one point in the corner. It's going to wrap around your leg. Now you're using a sheet on top of your body that's shatnez. The rabbi said, no, you can't sleep on it. You can't sleep on anything that's shatnez, the linen and wool together. Even if you say, oh, but it's underneath me, I'm not wearing it, because we're concerned it's going to somehow wrap around your leg at some point and you're going to have a problem. Rabbinically, the Gemara says, v'chitema demafsik midi. Maybe you're going to say, well, maybe they put like a layer underneath. So let's say they folded up their clothing and then they put, you know, something else on top of the, and then their head was on top of the sheet of cotton, I don't know. And then underneath the cotton was the linen and wool mixture of the clothing. Maybe that could work. The Gemara says, v'hamar Rabbi Shimon, amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, amar Rabbi Yossi bar Shaul, Mishum Ka'ala Kadish Jerusalem. There's an old tradition dating back to the holy congregation of Jerusalem. Afilu Eser Matzot Zo Al Gabe Al Gav Zo, B'kilayim Tachtem, Asur Lishon Aleihem. Elash Mamina Neged Rosheim. So there's this old tradition that even if you have 10 mattresses and you sleep on the top mattress and on the bottom mattress there's shatnez, there's linen wool, there's no concern that linen wool is going to end up on top of you. There's 6 feet between you and the linen and wool mixture. Still, there's an old tradition. We don't make a distinction. If the mattress has shatnez in it, if it's linen and wool together, you cannot sleep on it. And so that's proof. From here, the Gemara concludes, Shmamina Neged Rosheim, that tells you proof that they would fold their clothing up and put it next to their heads. They were not allowed to sleep on it. Even if you were to say that you could benefit from the clothing of the Kohen, could benefit, like hang out in it, but he can't hang out in it and benefit from the shatnez aspect of it. Since it's linen and wool, so that's a problem. The Gemara continues, V'baydema, alternatively you could say, Be'otan she'en behen kilayin. Or maybe they would just use as a pillow the parts that were not kilayim. So if it's just the belt or that was kilayim, so they'd fold up the belt and put it aside. But the rest of the clothing was not kilayim, it was just straight up linen. So that they could fold up and use that as a pillow, and that was fine. Rav Ashi amar, bigte kahuna kashinhen. Demarav huna bereid Rav Yeshua, hanamta gamta dineris sharia. The Gemara says, this other answer says, no, you'd had no concern about, the whole concern about using the mattress was that maybe the blanket of shatnez was going to flip up and wrap around your leg or something. But he says, look, the material here was stiff. It was hard material. And since it was hard, stiff material, you had no concern about something flipping up and wrapping around your body. It was hard. It was stiff. That wasn't going to happen. So you had no concern about it. So even if it was shatnez, presumably it would be okay, because the whole issue of shatnez is that it's going to wrap around you and warm you up and you're going to benefit from it. But this is so stiff and so tough. No one, you're not going to have that problem. Just continuing a little bit more before we're going to stop in just a minute. Tashma, bigdei kahuna hayotze behen lemedina aser. The mikdash, bein b'shat avoda, bein shelo b'shat avoda, mutar. They should bigdei kahuna nidnu le'ano behen shema minas. The Gemara concludes, it's a statement, that the clothing of the Kohen, when they were outside and you're out of the Beit HaMikdash complex, totally forbidden. You're not allowed to wear it. But when you're inside, whether you're working or not, if you're on the Temple Mount, the Kohen could wear it, mutar, because the priestly garments were also allowed to just be worn just for wearing purposes, benefit of wearing it, and so they were allowed to wear their garments as long as they were walking around. The Gemara continues, what, you're going to tell me that they were never allowed to wear their priestly garments outside of the temple area? Ve'atanya b'chaf aleph bo yom haragrizim delo lemispad kidzit b'yom aperek balo kohen gadol. We have a story. We have a story of that happened on the 21st day of whatever month it was, that this day of Har Grizim was a big festival. There was no eulogizing. And the Gemara tells this whole story. It cuts out all the details. It says that there was a whole thing where there was a Kohen Gadol who left in his fully clothed Kohen garments and went out to greet some foreign king. And he was fully dressed outside of the temple area. This is the high priest. So you're telling me the priest is not allowed to wear their clothing outside of the temple area? There's a story here where the high priest did do that. So the Gemara says, it's a couple options. Karov, v'chule. Oh, so this is, well, if you actually read the story carefully, he almost went out in his clothing, but didn't actually. It doesn't say that he actually went out, just says Karov. He was close to doing it. So maybe he didn't actually go out. Maybe it just said the Kohen Gadol was close to leaving the area, but he stopped short. Or ibaydema ruyin hen libig dekehuna vibaydema eight lasot la Hashem hefir tor tefa. I'm sorry. So one option is that he was appropriate. He could have worn it. He didn't. He stopped short. He didn't wear the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, but he could have worn the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, but he just stopped short. Alternatively, he did wear it, but it wasn't because he was supposed to. It was because there was like a big issue. This was the foreign king that was there. He didn't want to mess around, so he showed up in his full uniform. But under normal circumstances, he wouldn't have. Extenuating circumstance, and that's why he wore the clothing. Okay, and we'll stop here. This was a little bit longer than yesterday's, but hopefully most of these will end up being the length of yesterday's. And if the recording will also make its way online as well. Have a good night, everyone.